You're a guest. I know it was already mentioned, but we absolutely love when guests come to Heaven View. Amen. We're thrilled that you're here. Also, good to see Brother George Kosterleski visiting from Maryland, part of this church family for years. And we know he's moved away, but we're glad he's visiting every now and then. And then anyone else that's here, if you're kind of new, your first week, second or third visit, please let us get to know you. Fill out a Connect card so we can have a little bit of a friendship so we can be a blessing to you. That's all we want to do is bless you, help you receive from the Lord. Also, Easter Sunday, my oh my, it's going to be awesome right here at Heaven View. And we want you to be here. There are some invitation cards in the foyer so you can invite other people. We have a guest minister with us, Brother Mark Schutz, next Sunday. Been mightily used of God around the world, seen many healings, many dramatic miracles. He's very guest friendly. When he gets around a situation where there's a lot of guests, he just has the right way to build faith so they can receive from the Lord. It's going to be one of those Sundays that if you don't bring your friend or family member that needs a miracle, you're going to feel so bad when you leave saying, man, they needed to be here. You can't force them to come, but you can invite them to come. Amen. So please get the word out, cards in the foyer. We can't use them next week. We need you to use them today. And I want you to stand. We're going to pray for anybody that's been invited, anyone that's doing the inviting. We want the Spirit of God to draw folks. Just before we pray, I noticed some have parked across the street. Thank you. Please, if you're able to do that next Sunday, park across the street. We have Sunday school at 10. But then by 11, if we're not parked across the street, we won't have room for our guests. We want our guests to feel like there's room for them. Amen. Thank you for those of you that are ready to give up your seat or move in a little bit so that our ushers won't feel like they ruined your day when they asked you to let a guest sit by you. Will you help us with that? Amen. Because we want the Lord to pour out His Spirit, and we got to have empty vessels here. We got to have people that need the Lord for the Lord to do what He does best. Let's pray for that right now. Lord Jesus, we are trusting You for an outpouring of Your Spirit on Easter Sunday, that Easter will be more than just a story. It will be an experience for every single one of us, for our guests and neighbors and friends, family members that will literally be healed and filled and transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray in the name of Jesus that Your Spirit would use us to draw all men unto You. As we do the inviting, as we reach out via email or phone call or talking to friends this week, help them, Lord, to say yes and help them to come with faith to receive a miracle. And in all of these things, Lord, we praise You in advance. We give You the glory, Lord, for the miracles that are going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say in Jesus' name? If you'll remain standing, we're going to go to the word of the Lord. I want to say thank you to all of you that were a part of your life group meetings this past week. I know sometimes they're scheduled on different weeks, but life group leaders, we love and appreciate you. And those of you that invest your time in those meetings, thank you so much. Also, thank you, Brother Mark, Sister Robin. We understand Financial Peace University is going well, and we appreciate your investment in that. All of you are part of that. And then I know some of you have been praying and fasting for our Easter Sunday service. Thank you for doing that. If you'd like to help us tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock in the chapel, we're going to pray for 1 hour, but it's going to be a powerful time of prayer. God's going to meet us tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the evening. Please join us. Hebrews chapter 12. I felt incredibly honored and humbled last Sunday that God would give me the privilege to preach about the cross. I don't mean that to sound dramatic, but as you probably could sense, the more we focus on the cross, the more it seems to lift us all up just closer to Him. Now, I want to preach about the cross again today. Of course, Brother Schutz will be preaching next Sunday, and I don't know, who knows, we may preach about the cross again. I just want us to focus on Jesus, amen? And if you're here today and you need a miracle in your life, look to Jesus, look to the cross. and receive what you need from God. Not even next week, receive it today before you leave. Hebrews chapter 12, forgive me for this interruption. Pastor and Sister Ramos, we love you here at Heaven View. They're celebrating their second anniversary pastoring Power and Grace Ministries. They're doing a great job. And they meet in the afternoon on Sunday, so they're here this morning. But they're working very hard, starting a church from nothing. But man, I was there last night. They got a lot more than nothing happen over there. God is blessing their efforts, and we honor them. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Everybody say, endured the cross. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's amazing that the power of God rests upon Jesus Christ. And we know because of the cross, he has lifted us up to a place of power in his presence today. I want to preach to you from this simple thought, heroes, heroes of the cross. Heroes of the cross. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now by his word. Everybody pray out loud together if you're comfortable. Lord Jesus, right now, we're asking for a special anointing to flow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I want to be used by you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly, I think most of us would agree that Jesus Christ is the ultimate hero of the cross. You look in John chapter 1, as John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down the road, he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I will make reference to a number of crosses today and a number of heroes today, but there is nobody like Jesus Christ. Then when you look at what he accomplished on his cross, no one has accomplished through the cross what Jesus Christ accomplished for every single one of us and for a lost world. I want you to look at Colossians 2, and from a different translation, it makes it even a little bit more clear. Verse number 13, it says that you were dead because of your sins. That's all of us. We were dead because of our sins, because of your sinful nature. It was not yet cut away. But look what happened. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. That's heroic, if you ask me, by any measure, that God would take care of all the sins of the world because of his love for everyone here. Look at the next verse. It says how he did it. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. That's why Jesus is the ultimate hero of the cross. And in this way, verse 15, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's Bible talk for the Lord saying through his word, the devil really thought he had you. The devil really thought he had messed you up. That humanity was dead and gone because of sin. But on the cross, Jesus embarrassed the devil and put him to shame by saying, "You think you've destroyed humanity, but I will rescue humanity because of my love." Praise God. He's the hero, the ultimate hero of the cross. That's why there are times, in fact, I notice it happened again today. Sometimes this atmosphere at Heaven View can be somewhat overwhelming because we are so passionate about our praise. It's because Jesus Christ is the ultimate hero of every one of us. When I look to the cross, I see His love, and I see His blood, and I see His mercy, and I see His forgiveness. So sometimes I gotta raise my hands. Sometimes I've gotta lift my voice. Sometimes I might even dance. Sometimes I might even shout. You know why? Because Jesus is my hero. And I want you to look to the cross today and consider this. Jesus is our hero. Not just because He freed us from the penalty of sin. That's powerful. That's awesome. But you know, there on the cross, He also freed us from the power of sin. Because of the cross, not only am I forgiven of my sin, but I can overcome sin because of Calvary. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, picking up at verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So He forgives us, but He kind of reformats our soul like you might reformat a disc or a computer. He takes away all that sin, and He gives us the power to overcome sin by the Holy Ghost that is within us. So He's our hero, not just because He takes away the penalty of our sin, but He takes away the power of sin to control us and destroy us. And once I get His Spirit within me, I can overcome sin. I can defeat sin because of the blood of Jesus. The old timers would sing it and they'd ask the question, would you be free from your burden of sin? How's that gonna happen? There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We can live holy because of what He accomplished on the cross. We can overcome sin because of the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. So look at Hebrews 12 again in this context as we celebrate the heroic act of Jesus on Calvary. Look with me at Hebrews 12, now verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh yes, we can lay aside weights that would keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Oh yes, we can put away sin that would destroy us and lead us to a devil's hell. You know that's the devil's plan for every one of us. How do we do it? How do we run this race? Look at verse 2. It's very clear. We're just looking unto Jesus. We're just looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Oh, do you hear what I'm preaching today? When you look to Jesus and you look to that cross, something inside of you says, wait a minute, I don't have to stay the way I am. I can put away every weight. I can put away every... Why? I see Jesus. I see the cross. I'm running for my life because I know He shed His blood so that I could be saved. You see, our attitude about sin completely changes when we see Jesus and we see the cross. I know there's pleasure in sin for a season, but when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, And you see the blood that he shed. You see the life that he gave. You start to realize, oh, that sin is nasty. That sin is so horrible. I know it's controlled me. I know that addiction seems to have owned me. But when I look to Jesus and I see the cross, I get a little bit of glimmer of hope. Wait a minute. I don't have to stay in the pit where I'm at. Jesus went to Calvary so I could be set free. And so when I look to Jesus and when I look to the cross, something inside of me causes me to see sin differently, to see the world differently. Why? Because I'm looking to Jesus. So I preached about the cross last Sunday. I'm preaching about the cross this Sunday. Throughout this week, we'll focus on the cross. And with each verse you read, with each time you pray, something inside of you is going to say, sin, you cannot stay here anymore. World, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm looking to the cross. In that context, I want to remind you, just want to read it again, the verse from last week, picking up in the New Living Translation, Galatians 6, verse 14. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. When we see the cross, we see the loss of all the things that the world calls gain. I'm not preaching about money. I'm not preaching about jobs. I'm not preaching about school. Certainly not preaching against those things. But the more you look to Jesus and the more you see the cross, those things have their place, but they'll never be first place. They'll never cloud my view of Calvary, because when I see the cross, when I see his blood that was shed, something inside of me says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I want more of Jesus. Praise God. And so it's in that context that I want to make this statement. And the statement is that even though Jesus is the ultimate hero of the cross, there are many, many heroes of the cross. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 16. He looked at his disciples. He had talked about his own cross. In fact, Peter, if you'll look in the context when you study this week, Peter said, oh, no, you can't die, Jesus. You're supposed to set up your kingdom. Come on, we're supposed to whip up on the Romans. And Jesus is pretty rude, but it was Jesus, so it can't be rude. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, because you're not savoring the things of God. You're focusing on the things of men. And then he says this. Look at Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This ultimate hero of the cross, Jesus Christ, he was on a mission that extends to you and I today. For anyone in the world, whomsoever will, that they would look at his cross and they would look at his sacrifice and they would say, I will take up my cross and I will follow him. I will make my own sacrifice and I will follow him. I will do my own self-denial and I will follow him. And for every person that endures the cross, I say you are a hero. I say you have linked up with the God of the universe in a manner that was exactly what he prescribed when he walked upon this earth. And I know we don't always give you the mic and we don't always parade you on the platform, but if there is anybody here that remembers a situation in your life where you repented of your sins and you were baptized in Jesus' name, those sins were washed away and you were filled with the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues so that you could begin to walk a life of holiness. In other words, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. To all of you, I proclaim, you are a hero of the cross. You are a hero of the cross because you heard the call. Whosoever will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And if that's you, I honor you today. What does that look like in everyday language? Well, the old timers would say it this way: the places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. I took up my cross. My cross don't fit in some of those places. The things I used to do, I don't do those things anymore because I took up the cross. I'm following Jesus. Something's changed in my life. Come on, if that's you, you're a hero of the cross. And he's an ultimate hero, but he died for you, that you would have the courage to look to Jesus and look to his cross and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will follow him. And so the verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And I want to testify that there are some endurers in the house today. Everybody's cross is different. And I know that God doesn't make bad things happen to good people or even to bad people. It rains on the just and the unjust. Sin and hell is the source of what is evil in our world. But it is interesting, if you observe Christians long enough, you discover Christians have bills. Christians get sick. Christians have problems. Christians face challenges. Christians lose their job. Christians have all kinds of issues that make them scratch their head and wonder, where is God? But if you would look amongst the Christians that are here, you would find some rising up through the ashes, and they are those that can be said of them, we're just looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He started me out, and he's going to help me get to the end of this race. You know how? Because I'm looking to his cross. And when I look to his cross, it gives me courage to take up my cross. One more mile, one more step, one more journey, and you're a hero. Oh, would you clap your hands and thank the Lord today? Our world is in desperate need of heroes of the cross. Because a lot of people go through a lot of junk, but they have no hope. But if there can rise up amongst them, maybe even some from Heaven View, that will say and live, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I've got my cross. Maybe for some, the cross is sickness. Maybe for some, the cross is a family situation that you did everything God told you to do, but you can't change the actions of those people you love. But something inside of you says, you know what? If I'll just keep looking to Jesus, he shed his blood for me. He endured the cross. There was a joy that was set before him. And so I don't think I'm much of a hero. I don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep trusting. Why? Because when I look to Jesus, and I look to his cross, it gives me courage. It gives me confidence. If he could carry his cross for me, I can carry my cross for him. I will go. I will walk. I will travel. I will journey because of his cross. Oh, let's all shout unto God for just a moment. See his cross. It's a symbol for us. Oh, yes. It's a symbol that we are free from the punishment of sin. But look at again at the cross. It means more than that. It reminds me that I am free from the power of sin. When I look at his cross, something inside of me says, I'm going to put away sin. I'm going to lay aside every weight. But there's something else about his cross. It is a symbol of his passion and love for me. And when I see his cross, something ignites in me that is a passion and love for him. And so I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to serve him. I know some of you know me well enough. I'm not speaking of me personally, but you know a Christian may be sitting in this congregation well enough to know not every one of their prayers gets answered. Not every one of their things go the way they thought they should go. But look at them every time they worship. Look at them every time they come to church. Look at them shining as a light in the community. What's happening there? They see his cross. They see his sacrifice. They see his love. They see his blood. And something wells up in them. As long as I look to Jesus, I can make it with this cross. As long as I look to the cross, I can make it with this sacrifice. As long as I look to Calvary, looking unto Jesus. His cross gives me hope that I can carry my cross. In fact, the original church had an overwhelming passion to focus on the cross. Look at Philippians, if you will. I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain it today. But if you look at Philippians chapter 2, we read it, and it sounds like powerful verses from Scripture, and they are. But the early church, that book of Acts church, these are the words to a song that they would sing when they would get together. It was one of their hymns. It was about Jesus. It was about his cross. It's as though when they sang this song, something welled up inside of them that said, he carried his cross. I can carry my cross. He felt his pain. I can handle my pain because I'm looking to Jesus. I'm looking to the cross. And so here's the song. I don't know the way the music sounded, but we do have the words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When you study that part of the song, you know what the songwriter was saying? He was saying, when Jesus was a man, God manifest in the flesh. You think about how man was created. Man was created in the image of God. But man lost dominion and man lost power to the devil. And so God said, I'm going to robe myself in flesh and I'm going to come to earth as a man because I'm going to do what the first man Adam couldn't do. I'm going to defeat the devil and I'm going to gain back the authority and the power that belonged to mankind to begin with. And so think about it. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was made in the image of God. Like Adam, Jesus Christ was a man, full, completely a man, made in the image of God. But look, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, remember Adam and Eve when the devil said, if you'll take this fruit, you'll be like God. And as a man, Jesus said, I don't have to rob that position. I don't have to strive for that position. I don't have to reach and grasp for a position where I feel like I am God. Instead, this is the song. This is what I'm going to do. Look at verse 7. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That first church would sing about Jesus. They would sing about the cross, and something in their soul would say, if it kills me, I'm going to obey God. If it kills me, I'm going to obey God. If it kills me, I'm going to take up my cross and do his will, obey his word. The world may make fun of me, but I'm going to take up my cross and follow Jesus. The world may think I'm crazy, but wait a minute, I'm looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. If he endured the cross, I can endure the cross. And then they would sing, fully knowing that God was in Christ, but recognizing he lived and died as a man to demonstrate to every man, woman, boy, and girl that would follow, if you will become obedient even unto death, if you will take up your cross and follow Jesus, no matter what it takes you through, no matter how it hurts, no matter what the world says, look at what happened to the man Christ Jesus. Verse number 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You study the Old Testament, you will discover there is only one, the God of the universe, of whom it is said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But because Jesus was willing to take up the cross as a man, he demonstrated for us, if you want to be like God, just be like Jesus. And as you walk with him, as you carry that cross, one day he will lift us up to heavenly places where we shall be like him. That's what we see when we see the cross. Come on, think about it. If you walk away from this church today and you never follow Jesus again, you're still going to face sickness. You're still going to face trouble. You're going to still fight hell, because hell hates everybody. But if you can take up your cross, this sickness, I know Jesus is going to heal me, but until he heals me, this sickness is going to make me more like Jesus. I know this job situation, it's not what I thought was going to happen. And I know God's going to provide all my need according to his riches and glory. But I'm just going to keep looking to the cross. I'm just going to keep looking to Jesus, because every step I take, I'm going to become more like him. I'm trying to tell somebody, I know you're going through hell, but look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I know it's not working out the way you want it to work out, but keep looking at the cross. And if he endured the cross, you can endure the cross. Oh, could you clap your hands and shout with your voice? So they sing this song, and then look at verse 12 at the end of the song. Look at their response to the words about Jesus and the cross. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. In other words, the apostle could say, I know I taught you to put your faith in God, and I know I taught you to repent of your sins, and I know I taught you to be baptized in Jesus' name, and then you were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and I know I've given you all these epistles so you will know how to live holy and godly and separated from the world, but there are some things you're going to face that you're going to have to work out all by yourself. In other words, you're going to hit some stuff in life that can only be described as you taking up your cross and following Jesus. And the Apostle Paul was saying, just keep looking to the Lord. Just keep looking to the cross. And with each step you take, just obey the Lord. With each step you take, just shine for the world. Let them see there are still people following Jesus. And those people are here today. And if you are enduring, even just a little bit, don't judge your cross by the size of somebody else's cross. But if you are enduring something in an attempt to obey God, I want you to know you're a hero. You're the reason why he died. And what I'd like for you to do is raise your hands right now and say, Jesus, you know about this sickness, but today I'm looking to you. I'm looking to the cross. I know you're going to heal me, but until you heal me, I'm just going to keep carrying my cross. Jesus, you know about my family situation. You know about my need, my kids, all the struggles. And Jesus, I know you're going to work it out, but until you do, I'm just going to carry this cross. I know because I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I'm surrounded by all kinds of people that have gone on before me, and they face stuff that I could never face. They went through trials I could never go through. Even in this building, Lord, there are people that have had to fight hell in ways I've never had to fight hell. But God, they're still carrying their cross. They're still looking to Jesus. And I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to endure, God. Because I see you. I see you. And it prompts me to move forward to the point that verse 15 says, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. If somebody has ever looked at you on the job and they said, what's different about you? You're a hero. I know secretly sometimes you may despise the shame of your cross, but you're still carrying it. Come on, what about it? You go to school and you wonder, how come the kids always look at me differently since they found out I'm Pentecostal? Maybe it's because that's your cross. And sometimes you despise the shame that comes with that cross. But I'm telling you, look to Jesus. When they make fun of you, look to Jesus. I know some of you, you prayed. You even told other people to help you pray. You needed a miracle of healing for your family member. And you know, now it almost makes you feel ashamed to come to church because the healing hasn't happened. And everybody knows, let me tell you something. Sometimes you despise that cross, but you're still enduring. You still love the Lord. You're still walking with him. And I guarantee you, if you will look to Jesus, and if you will look to the cross today, if you will see his love for you, you can make it to the healing. You can make it to the miracle. Is there anybody that would raise a hand right now and thank the Lord for brothers and sisters around you that are enduring the cross, that are despising the shame, but they're still loving Jesus. They're still being faithful. They're still serving God. You're a hero. You're a hero. If you're enduring just even the littlest bit, and I say to anyone that will join us, Jesus would say to you today, take up your cross. and follow him. Can you say in Jesus' name? His name was Isaac Watts. He was living in the late 1600s and the early 1700s. That's a long time ago, and you may wonder how his life would impact yours. But I will tell you, he wrote literally hundreds and hundreds of hymns for the church. One of those hymns we sing all the time, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." He wrote that. But here's the thing about Isaac. In his early 20s, this amazes me, in his early 20s, what inspired him to write all these songs is he was going to church like everybody else in their 20s. And he was looking around. And this is what he said. Do we really believe what we're singing about? Or are we just saying the words? He's in his early 20s. And he's saying, I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just fake it till I make it. I want to have a closer communion with Jesus Christ. And so he asked this question in one of his songs. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? And this verse is the verse that really got a hold of me. He said, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? My Christianity is all about my own comfort. Am I just supposed to use Jesus so my life can be blessed while others that have gone before me have carried a cross and fought for the truth and proclaimed the name of Jesus and served the Lord and gave their best? So he says, sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. If you are here today and it took all of the Holy Ghost in you just to get you to church, it's like you're fighting hell, but you're still shining for Jesus. I want you to know you're a hero. You're a hero of the cross. If you are living with a mentality, is there not a cause? And even though you've got the job and the kids and life, something inside of you says, I've got to do something for the Lord. I've got to tell someone about Jesus. If that's you, you're a hero of the cross today. You're a soldier. And our world needs soldiers of the cross, heroes of the cross that will take up their cross and follow Jesus. One writer said it this way, and it just blows me away. I'm not there yet, but when he said it, when I read it, it impacted me greatly. He said, if I covet anything other than the dust at the foot of the cross, I know nothing of Jesus. Wow, isn't it something that the Lord will let us go through some things? He'll let us carry the cross until all of a sudden, God, you gave me a good job and I got a great family, but I want more of you. There's something missing. I want more of you. I know some of you have gone through sickness, and I don't understand why God hasn't healed you yet, but I have observed that through your sickness, you've had this passion. I've got to worship Jesus. I've got to be in church. I've got to know the Lord. Why? Because there's something about the cross that calls us to a greater closeness with our Savior. And if this is what it takes to help me look to Jesus, I will endure. And if that's you, if that's you, you're a hero. You're a hero. Don't stop now. If he endured, you can endure. If he carried the cross, you can carry your cross. You're a hero. And when you get weary in well-doing, look to Jesus. Look to the cross. And when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore and look to Jesus. Look to the cross. And when you feel like it's not even going to be worth it, just look to Jesus. Look to the cross. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith. That's how I'm going to endure. And so, Isaac Watts, he wrote another song. Now, he wrote over 700, so I hope you bought a lunch. Just kidding. But he wrote another song. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost. And this line blew me away. And pour contempt upon my pride. Oh, I'm really somebody, huh? I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. But when I see the cross, I want to pour contempt upon my... In other words, I hate myself. When I start thinking I'm somebody, I got to take another look at the cross, at the cross, at the cross. Do you ever start acting in your marriage like your spouse is the jerk and you can do no wrong? Look to the cross. Do you ever look at your parents or look at your kids and so what's wrong with them? Look to the cross. Look to the cross. And say, Jesus, I know as a parent I've got to correct my kids, but I don't want arrogance to get in the way. I don't want flesh to get in the way. Because I look to the cross, I see Jesus. And I see blood that was shed. And I just get the feeling, if I could keep my eyes upon Jesus, if I could keep my eyes upon the cross, I'd be a better spouse. I'd be a better son. I'd be a better parent. I'd be a better Christian. I'd be a better leader. I'd be a better pastor because of the cross. He went on to sing, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed, it mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crimson like a robe spread o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and the globe is dead to me. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Sunday school teacher, when you close the manual, you dismiss your kids. Take one more look at the cross. And if it seems like they didn't pay attention at all, if it seems like they just couldn't wait for the snack and they could care less about what you were teaching, look to the cross and say, you know what, I'll be back here next week, because when I see what he gave, I'm going to give my all. I'm going to give my all. Come on, choir, when you sing your guts out and you watch two or three head off to the bathroom because they think, well, this is halftime. Don't get frustrated when they call practice and you're thinking, man, Saturday's my only free day. Look to the cross and say, he gave his all. I will carry my cross. I know sometimes money's so scarce and we work so hard, and here comes the offering basket one more time. Whatever you put in there, if it feels like you got a heavy cross, look up to Jesus and say, he shed his blood. He gave his all. The least I can do is give my best to serve him, to love him, to give my all. Would you stand? And would you just pray this simple prayer? The Apostle Paul said it this way: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Can you make that your prayer right now? And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is there somebody that can pray a prayer right now that's simply this: I cannot stop. I cannot quit. He carried his cross for me. I will carry my cross for him. Is there somebody here in this building that will say, you don't understand, Pastor. It's been so hard for me. It's been so hard for my family. My health has deteriorated. My kids, they're fussing and fighting. But could you say, I cannot quit? Could you pray, I will not stop? Why? Because he carried his cross for me. I will carry my cross for him. Is there anybody that can say, Preacher, you don't understand how people have failed me? In fact, some of the people that have failed me the most have been Christians. But is there something in your spirit that can say, I will not quit? I will not stop. He carried the cross for me. I will carry the cross for him. Is there somebody that can make their way to the altar as if to say, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Not just happy because everything's going my way, but happy to carry the cross, happy to carry the cross, happy to carry the cross. Come on, whatever you're carrying today, whatever you're carrying today, come, come, bring it to Jesus. Whatever cross you're bearing today, come, 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 come to Jesus. In the name of the